These young people. Praise God. We're delighted to have Reverend Charles Thomas preaching the word today.
Second Baptist. My name is Reba Grant. I'm sure you have enjoyed the program so far, and most of you, I'm sure, remember the sad times that we had in the past, but hopefully those days are gone. But through it all, we as a people have survived beyond all expectations. As African Americans, we shine as bright as the stars in the Texas sky on a beautiful, clear night. Stars of all sizes, great and small, showing their might and making a magnificent sight in the sky. Through all the heartaches of our stormy past, God has been with us and blessed us to contribute to our country in many ways. As President of the United States, as members of the Senate and House of Representatives, military leaders, and men and women that they lead, including the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, and even civil servants. We contribute to our country in many other ways. In alphabetical order, they are civil rights activists, CEOs of businesses, small and large corporations, medical doctors and specialists, entertainers, fire and police officials, inventors, ministers, musicians, mayors, nurses with all degrees, and practical and nurses' aides, owners of successful businesses, publicists, priests, teachers with all degrees, writers, professional sportsmen, scholars, and on and on. I'm sure I have left some job or profession out, but we're doing our share. And if something else is discovered or invented requiring skills to perform or operate them, we surely will be there to apply for the job. Let's keep educating ourselves and our children so that we will be prepared to meet every challenge. Thanks, and may God continue to bless us and keep us and give us the courage to stand as a proud but humble race of people. Thank you.
Trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God.
My soul, my
Moment from me. Speak to your people. Whatever their needs may be. One thing we do know, our Heavenly Father watches over us. Hear our cry, amen. I need to ask a question. How many of you have Bibles with you? Those of you that have Bibles, would you please open them to the book of Romans, chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, please be just reach over in the pool, in the pew in front of you and grab one of those Bibles, please. Because it's going to be, I want the word to speak this morning. Okay. I want God's word to speak to you. I listened to Sister Bell, and I don't know about you, but I heard as she spoke. My soul cried. How many of you have Romans chapter 9? You got it? Let me place it in its context before we look at it. The Apostle Paul has just spent 8 chapters explaining the message that he got from Jesus while he spent 3 years with him in Arabia, explaining to him the mystery of the gospel and the church. So what he just explained was what salvation is all about. Are you with me? Y'all know what salvation is, right? It's whatever. I'm not asking for no great theological explanation, but you do know that if you don't experience salvation. Y'all know what happens? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. I mean, it's a yes or a no. Do you know what happens if you don't experience salvation? You forfeit eternal. Thank you, Dean. She says, she put it so sweetly. You forfeit eternal life, but can I put it in language that they may understand better than that? Okay. You die and go to hell. You experience eternal damnation if you don't experience salvation. I told church this morning, shared with them as best I could, that in this month, February, Black History Month, I got to get an amen out of y'all some way. How many of y'all know this is Black History Month? Whoa, good God Almighty, hallelujah. If you know this is Black History Month, say amen.
Amen.
Good God, I'm glad to know. You know this is Black History Month, then you know that Dr. Carter G. Woodson is the reason why we have Black History Month. You know that, right? And he wrote a book, talk about the miseducation of Negroes. And that's us. And he said that the thesis of that book was that blacks are being culturally indoctrinated rather than educated. That we were being taught how to be members of the culture and function as good citizens rather than being educated. That's what I didn't make that up, y'all. That's what he said. Okay? I'm saying. Every February, I spend time in this arena because at one time when I was doing this, what you call preaching, I taught that God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I taught that. And I told the truth. I taught and preached that salvation is by grace through faith. That we are unrighteous by birth, but that God loved us so much that he worked out a plan before the foundation of the world, before there was a when, a there, here. He worked out a plan. Picture with me a council meeting, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in eternity before time, talking about what they're going to do and how they're going to set things in motion in time and pick out a family of human beings to spend eternity with them when time came to an end. Did you follow that? God working before time because of what he's going to do in time so that he could have his family when time came to an end. All right. Yeah. My. That's what he does in time. Had to do with salvation. But then I had a problem, y'all. Excuse me. I know we got English teachers in here, y'all. But I didn't learn everything Miss Brown tried to tell me, okay?
I had a problem because I started thinking, if God loves folk and he is so gracious and he cares about people so much, how come he don't bless my people? I mean, why is it that we seem to be catching more fill in the blank than anybody else? Did some of y'all filled in the blank? Okay, yeah. I'm talking about, this is the way I knew that God loved folk. I know that I preached it. I believed. I saw people saved, people crying and coming to Christ. So I know I was telling the truth. But I still had this problem in my head, in my soul. Why? What is it about us? And that was what made me start searching the scripture. And lo, I discovered what I discovered. I discovered that our history did not begin on a slave plantation. I discovered that our history didn't start with the slave ship landing. I discovered that even though Deuteronomy 32:68 talks about God's people going back into slavery on ships, that brought new meaning to me. Some of y'all looking at the bulletin, you better listen. Okay. That helped me understand us going back to Israel, Egypt, in slave ships helped me to understand the transatlantic slave trade. Y'all don't hear me yet. You don't hear me yet. You don't hear me yet, do you? You don't hear me yet. You don't hear me. Trying to figure out who we were helped me understand why that centurion looked at the Apostle Paul and thought he was from Egypt. Because the centurion knew there wasn't nothing but black folk in Egypt. But he asked Paul, he said, aren't you that Egyptian? Now, Brother Johnson, that does something to my head, because I'm telling, if this centurion who has been entrusted with the guard in a position in Caesar's legion, if he think he looks at this Jew and thinks he is an Egyptian simply because he's black, something about my head puts one and one together. That tells me that the Jews were black. And I said, wait a minute, hold it. I heard Carter G. Woodson, he said, the miseducation of the Negro. Listen, I said, hold it. Lord, you mean to tell me that we are the real Jews of the scripture? Yeah, you're talking about being miseducated. Whoa. But that helps me help me. Will y'all walk with me, please? This is Black History Month. That helps me understand why God would tell Joseph to take baby Jesus down into black Africa to hide him. You sure can't hide no blonde, blue-haired, blue-eyed Jesus in black Africa. He stand out like a fly in buttermilk. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Now, really, y'all believe it or not, I'm not just talking about black history. I'm preaching the gospel, because the gospel is about Jesus Christ. Most of us got don't know who he is, and it makes us misunderstand what we are going through and why we are experiencing it. So I'm just trying to help somebody. I'm just help, because guess what? If Paul Black and Peter Black and Jesus Black, wait a minute. Do you realize that as a youngster, I used to sit and I was so messed up in my thinking. I told the church this morning, I actually sat in front of a television and watched Tarzan movies. And I'm black as the ace of spades. Do you know whose side I was on? I was rooting for white Tarzan, riding through a black jungle, straightening black folk out and being a helper. You talking about a messed up head, so brainwashed. Well, you can understand that because some of you saw Cleopatra and you thought Elizabeth Taylor was... Some of you saw Moses and the Ten Commandments and you thought Charleston Heston, that's your picture. And some of you saw, you fanned in church with fans that had a blonde, blue-haired, blue-eyed Jesus in it. Guess what? And the picture got in your mind. You don't think black. It's almost like you don't shame to be who you are. I know you're not ashamed of being black. Nobody ever took the time to tell you that Jesus was a black man. So I am not going to tell you, this is my text, y'all. I'm not going to tell you to read Wayne Mears' book because he just put it out in 2013. Okay? And the book says, Jesus is black. Get over it. Written by a white boy. You didn't hear it. Some of y'all was laughing. You didn't hear it. It's a white man writing the book to white folks saying, Jesus is black. Get over it. Huh? Man, we can't get over it. We just now finding out about it. Hold it. But then I read, watch this one, so I can get into the text. Then I read a book by Abernathy Talmage, and it's written in 1863. That's a white Presbyterian preacher having a book printed, and it says on the cover, it has a black man on it with a crown on his head, and says, a Jew, a Negro. That's a white boy who wrote and published a book in 1863. Well, if you don't know nothing else, you know 1863 was the same year of the Emancipation Proclamation. So this stuff ain't new. Why they been hiding it? It's not new. I looked at the young man, Rev waved at him, Brother Washington's grandson, and I said, he caught his attention. I said, go ahead, Pastor. All he did was beckon at him like that. And this youngster laughed. You know why I said, go ahead, Pastor? Because the church experience should not be negative. You ought to have a joy about being in the presence of God.
Amen.
When I was growing up, they made me go to church. Okay? And they made me go so much that I said that when I got grown, I wasn't going to no cotton picking church no more. I got drugged to church. I was a drug baby for real, y'all, and wasn't nothing in my arm. I just got drugged to senior choir rehearsal. I got drugged to everything that I did not want to be. But one thing I learned in growing up at church, I learned how to act like a Christian.
Yes. Act. Got it. Act. Don't you read me like that. I didn't say be a Christian. You picked up on it. I said I learned how to act like a Christian. I said my speeches. I said my points. And I knew how to talk in front of them old sisters. All right. I knew how to behave. I learned how to act like a Christian. I even went to church, y'all. I know you don't want to hear this about a preacher, but guess what? I went to church, and guess what? We stole cars every Friday to go to the dance. All right? If you're going to the dance, you better have some transportation. Hello? Bicycle ain't gonna do it. So the fellas would come by the house and we would go up on the hill in the Caucasian neighborhood every Friday and we would steal a car. Hello? I got so good, you won't believe it. I know you don't want to hear that, so let me tell you about this one. I stole a car one. I even had a car parked around the corner from the church. And I would go get in the car after church. But don't feel bad. Don't think I'm crazy. I washed that car. Yes, I did. You can't pick up no girl in a dirty car. I had good religion. But nobody told me what it would take to have my soul changed. On the inside. So I got sick of acting like a Christian. Especially when I found out that the folk at the church wasn't doing half the stuff they was talking but telling me to do. And the stuff that they told me to do so I wouldn't go to hell. Well, I found out I already did some of that already. So it was good news to discover that you don't go to heaven based upon your works.
That's right.
You hear me? It was good news to discover that you are not saved or lost based upon your behavior. Now, y'all, don't look at me crazy, y'all. Do you know it's a whole lot of folks? Some of them may be sitting on the pew next to you. They haven't got there yet. They really think God's upset with them because they don't think right, live right, act right, and make the right choices. Nobody told them about Romans chapter 9. They don't know. Some of them really, the Bible tells them to love folk, and some of them are treating folk right, and they can't stand them. And the devil got them feeling phony because they're doing what God told them to do. He just told them to love folk. And since we get our definition of love from Hollywood instead of the scripture, we think love is a feeling. But if you take the time, I dare you to come to Sunday school and Bible class. I dare you to open up your Bible and take another look at it. You will find that love is an action word. You know, I found out there's a cotton picking television commercial that got it right. Love ain't no feeling. You don't have to like folk to treat them right. Love is being patient with folk who get on your nerves. Love is treating him or her right, and you know they mean you. Some of y'all know. They mean you no good. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking you ain't saved because you don't like what Jesus told you to do. I don't like it either. Pray for your enemies. Love folk that despitefully use you. Folk that you know mean you no good. He says, love them anyhow. Why? Jesus, why would you put that kind of demand on me? He said, because that's what God did to you. He loved you in spite of you.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
He looked beyond your faults and saw your need. What was your need? Lord, I was broke. He said, no. A whole lot of folk got money and still going to hell. That wasn't your problem, babe. He saw your need. Your need was his purpose. Remember I told you the council meeting in eternity first? Then he worked in time. He knew that he was going to call you and save you in time to spend eternity with him. He knew that. So, since y'all don't think I'm preaching scripture, you still got your Bible open? Okay. Look at verse 24. In fact, look at verse 23. You got it? It says, and that he, talking about God now, might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called. Now, just in case, I know this is probably not true, but just in case somebody might be seeing that for the first time on the read again, okay? Just in case you're seeing that for the first time. It says that God, verse 23, wanted to make known how rich his mercy is. He wanted his mercy is so glorious and so rich that he wanted to make it manifest. So he had some vessels that he was going to have to show mercy to. And he says, that's us. God wanted to show his mercy. He wanted to put his mercy on this. In other words, since y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, y'all ain't. Listen. He wanted to show off. Lord, I told the class this morning, when God wants to show off and use people for his glory, he don't do like you ladies do. He doesn't go shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue. When God gets ready to use somebody for his purpose, he goes to the trash pile. He goes to the junkyard. Because he wants to put his grace on display. He wants to show how merciful he is. And that's how you know that some folk that sit on the pew with you not saved, because they really think they in good standing with God because they've been good, holy, righteous, sanctified, and they don't hang around with folk that do all that stuff that's ugly. They're not going to admit to you that they already done dude it. See, when God get ready to save folk, and if you save, you know what I'm talking about. You know why you have to get excited and turn the sanctuary. It's not an auditorium where you sit on the pew and applaud the performance and the choir standing in the pulpit. It's a sanctuary where you worship the Lord, and when they sing about his mercy, you get excited and your soul starts to soar because you know what it is to be saved by the grace. They can't sing all night, all day. The angels kept watching over me because you know what it was, because you was out there in the street
with your head so far from God, but all night, God knowing that he was going to save you, he kept his angels watching over you so that he could show the riches of his grace.
Yes.
Now, there's no way in the world you're going to sit and look cute on Sunday. And they're talking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. No. Now, see, some of us, I don't know, maybe I can get a testimony. I don't know. You know, we don't like to put our business in the street. But anybody in here ever made a mistake? If you made a mistake, wave your hand. Okay. Anybody ever had an error? You made some errors? Wave your hand. Do you know what? I feel sorry for y'all. Because my Bible says that Jesus didn't die for folk who make mistakes. He didn't die for folk who made error. He died for sure enough, diehard, real sinners. That means the folk that he saves can't take credit for nothing. Y'all don't hear me. The folk that he saved, Martin, they can't brag on about being saved. The folk that he saved, I mean, how you go, I dare you to go strutting in the church like you. Folk that saved by the grace of God, on whom God has shown mercy, people who know that their thought life committed them to eternal damnation, even if they didn't do it, they thought about it. People who know they got to stand before a holy and righteous God, when they think about Jesus and what he did for them and how he washed them in his blood and clothed them in his righteousness, they get excited. And if you're still trying to work out your own salvation, you're not doing too good a job at that. So you ain't gonna get excited. Okay, that's why I don't get upset about a whole lot of folks sitting looking like they've been baptized in vinegar on Sunday and spending more time reading the teller and the, I know they happen here, but spending more time looking at the bulletin than they are paying attention to what the preacher is saying. Sitting there making us the sanctuary an auditorium where you judge what's going on instead of rejoicing in what's being said and sung about. Let me show you what Paul says here. And I'm going to try to sit down and shut up because my mama told me, speak up, shut up. Yes, that's what she said. Okay, she said, if you want to be present, appreciate it. Speak up, then shut up. Okay? And just sit down. Better to have folks say, I wish you had stayed up, than to say, you should have sat down a long time ago. Look what it says in chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This sorrow being so deep, and it's about his brothers, he said, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He says, my fellow Israelites, some other black fellows like me, the black Jews like me, he said, I feel sorry for him. I got a great pain in my heart. He says, I tell the truth in agony. Paul, why are you agonizing? He said, Thomas, you just don't understand. The Lord has given me the assignment to take the truth of the gospel about his death, burial, and resurrection and what it accomplished. The Lord has told me to take that up there into Europe where all them light-complected folk at. He said, I got to take my black self with the gospel about a black man into white Europe and tell them that Jesus died on Calvary for their sins. But Thomas, you don't understand my people. My people. They don't get it. He said, they don't get it, Thomas, they don't get it. You say, where you get that? Well, look at verse chapter 10, verse 1. It wasn't just a passing fancy. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is black Israel, that they might be saved. Why? Because I bear their record. They got a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They go on about trying to establish their own righteousness, being ignorant of God's righteousness. They trying to get to heaven based upon their own righteousness. Some you don't get it. You know, let me see if I can bring that home. Okay. Some of them actually think they're going to get an A+ from God for preaching. Some of them actually think they're going to get an A+ from God for singing. Some of them think they're going to get an A+ from God for being on trustee boards. Some of them, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. And if you don't come by Calvary and humble yourself and admit that you are a wretch, undone, a sinner who deserves to go to hell. I don't care if you ain't done what the rapists and the perverts do. If you thought wrong, you can't stand before a holy God and get 100% grade. You better get you some Jesus. Because his righteousness is a perfect righteousness. And God, in his mercy, look, let me show you what, look at verse 22. What? Somebody asked Paul, why God did it like that. Verse 22, Paul says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What if God just put up with folk for a long time? Folk that were going to hell in condemnation. What if he just put up with them? Verse 23 says why he put up with them. That he might make known the riches of his glory on those vessels. He's going to show mercy to some folk. Even us. Whom he hath called. Do you know what? And I'm going to shut up. Okay? I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut up, y'all. Okay. Do you know what the scripture says about the people that God saves in time? That God didn't even leave it up to them to be saved? That he chose them before the foundation? Somebody said that before the foundation of the world. Do you understand that if you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you really believe that down in your pea picking heart, if you ain't even pick no peas, if you believe it down in your soul, guess what? My Bible tells me it's because a miracle of regeneration has taken place in your soul. And if that's what happened, you may not have felt no lightning strike you in the top of the head and run to the bottom of your feet. But if you believe that, my Bible says a miracle has taken place in your soul. You have been what God calls born again. And if you can't shout off for nothing else, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I believe. Paul says, I'm crying because the majority of my folk don't know it. They still trying to get in good with God. And those that know it, watch me. Watch me. Those that know it, guess what? They sitting like sitting back and won't tell nobody the truth about Jesus. Can you imagine a person who got a Bible and the Bible says that the blind, you must be born again. You can't birth yourself. If you've been born again, that means God has done something. You didn't birth yourself the first time. And when you're born again into the family of God, you ain't going to birth yourself the second time. It's something that God does. He sends his spirit to open up your understanding. Okay? And if you like me, when you came to Jesus, God had to pull you. You came stumbling, trying to stay out there in the world, but he kept on drawing you. That's why I'm going to stand up at least, man. Yeah? When they sing, because I can't sing. So when I hear somebody sing, I came to Jesus as I was weary, wounded, and sad. And I can't say it the way I want to say it. Can I say it like the way I want to say it? I came to Jesus. Just as I was weary, wounded and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. He put running in my feet, clapping in my hand, and I don't care who it is. I really don't care who it is. He can have bad breath, halitosis. I dare him to stand up and talk about Jesus. Just something about that name.
Yes.
If you can't get excited, I understand why. But I want to tell you how you can get to know him. If you get to know him, he'll give you the same thing I got. It's called running in your feet. It's called clapping in your hands.
Yes, sir.
Or amen in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't hear me.
Yeah.
Well, he'll even put something in you, guess what, that make you glad to be his child.
Yes.
And guess what he says? If you his child, he gonna bless the world through you.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear me. Watch it. He gonna bless the world through you. And other folk, the world will benefit as a result of your tears. Other folk gonna be blessed as a result of your pain. Y'all don't hear me. Keep on crying because you got to cry sometimes.
Yes, Lord.
It's because you've been born again. You've been picked out by God to be used for his glory. So as long as you cry, say amen in the midst of your tears. Shout hallelujah. Say to God, be the glory. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, but I'm going to make it. The same God that saved me, the same God who called me. He said, I'm going to make you crushed grapes for other folk to drink the juice. I'm going to crush you like wheat so other folk can have some bread. I'm going to build even America. I'm going to build it off of your prayers. I'm going to build it off of your intellect. Build it off of your inventions. And they're going to take all the credit. But you just hold on. Just hold on. Because that same Jesus that suffered like you,
yes,
you know, they did crucify. And that was a lynching.
Hold on.
They lynched him. Crucified. But look how the world, how God blessed the world through Christ's suffering. When are you going to quit crying the blues as the folk around you are blessed because of your pain? When are you going to stop and realize to be picked out by God is to be picked out to be hurt? Didn't you hear Jesus say what they did to me, they gonna do to you? You got a Bible, don't bite it. Read the cotton picker thing.
Read it.
So you can understand why you shout in the midst of your tears. Read it. So you can understand. And you can praise the Lord why you wipe your tears. Watch how many folk get love from you. Watch me. Because you didn't get none growing up. And you know what a soul feels like when they don't get a hug. And that's why you make sure you love folk. People benefit as a result of your pain. I'm trying to help somebody. You know what it means to be picked out by God for his glory, to be used for his suffering, to bless the people around you. You better quit letting these Caucasians tell you that the blessing is in your wallet. The blessing is to be used for the glory of God. Let him use you. And then maybe somebody will come along that can sing that song for me. Use me, Lord, in thy service. Draw me near every day. I wish I could sing, y'all. Since I can't, you better help me. I am willing, Lord, to run on all the way, all the way. Say that for me. Lord, huh? Just let me stay, Lord. I am willing. Pain in my heart, but I'm gonna run all the way. You can talk about me, but I'm gonna run all the way. He did too good to me. I'm willing. Are you willing? Oh, I'm on my way somewhere. I'm gonna go with me to my father's house. If I conquer, Lord, don't be angry. I'm willing. How about you? Are you willing to lay at the cross and say, Lord, few more tears, few more mountains, but I'm willing? I don't like half the folk you put me around, but if you want me to love them, I'm willing.
Yes, Lord.
I'm tired of being stabbed in the back.
Yes, Lord.
But if you want to, I'm willing.
Yes,
because I know that you don't lie. You told me that if I'm faithful, you had a crown laid up for me. One of these days, sky gonna split, Gabriel gonna get a horn, and he gonna blow. He ain't gonna toot, he gonna blow. He gonna blow so loud, it's going to wake up the dead. When Gabriel blow his horn, I'm going to get up. That's why I ain't worried about dying. Death ain't nothing but a tossing and going to sleep. When Christ comes back, I'm going to get my new building. And I'm going to hear him say, "Servant, well done. Well done. Well done. Lord, I didn't do nothing but try to love for well done. I didn't do nothing but stop and get a homeless. I didn't even like the way they smelled or the way they looked, and I thought they was going to misuse it, but you told me to give it to them, so I blessed them." He said, "Well done. Lord, you don't understand. Half the time I want to tell them to go to Salvation Army and get some help, but you told me that's why you gave it to me, and I just did it. I didn't want to do it, Lord, but I did what your spirit told me to do." He said, "Well done." Do you really want the Lord to use you? Or are you going to sit around looking like you baptized in vinegar and ask him to bless me some more so I can tell the world you've been good to me? God picked you out to hurt, and through that pain, he's going to touch souls around you. Tell the Lord, "Use me, Lord, in thy service."
And all the people of God said amen. The church is standing. We praise God for the preached word. If you do not have a church home, we offer you Christ here at Second Baptist. I'm in his safety. Thank you. Please remain standing for just a few more minutes.
Reverend Jimison and members of Second Baptist Church, we have Mr. Jesse Owens, which should become a member of Second Baptist Church based on his Christian experience.
Mr. Owens, we welcome you to the body of Christ that is called Second Baptist. We trust that you would covenant in your heart and with Second Baptist to abide by the Word of God. We thank you for hearing the Word of God today and coming to become a part of the Second Baptist Church family. Whatever God has laid on your heart to do here at Second Baptist, we pray that we'll be open to receive your gifts and that God would use you and us to do his holy will. Thank you for saying to God this day, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Welcome to Second. Glad to have you. We want to thank the choir and Sister Lee for their marvelous services today. And now we thank Reverend Thomas for his message. For the message of God that came through him. Do not forget, immediately following the service, to go right over to the fellowship hall. They have been waiting since 12:45 to feed us. And now, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Lift his countenance upon you, give you his peace. Peace as you travel. Peace as you fulfill God's purpose in your life. Peace as you go through the winds and through the storms of this life. Peace as loved ones pass on, as friends become few. Until we meet again, may God hold each one of you, each one of us, in the palm of his hands. Grace, mercy, and truth, and the love of God be with us, now, henceforth, and forever. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
They went their way rejoicing. Amen. Brother Owens, where would you like to work in this church?
Well... I've done mentoring.
Okay, good. We welcome you. Glad that you're here.